you can see that the title of my message is When Brethren Disagree. Now, you might be shocked that Christians can actually disagree. You probably never heard that Christians could disagree, but they can, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But before I start, I want to invite everybody on Saturday over to our house. We're going to be having a little barbecue over there, kind of the end of the summer thing for kind of a combination of Christina's birthday, she just turned 18, and for Casey going back to school. So it'll be this Saturday, 5:30 to 8, and if you want to bring a side dish, you certainly may if you'd like to, but everybody's welcome to join us over at our house. So I just want to invite folks over to that before I begin. So let me make sure this works. Okay, that works, okay. Oops, sorry, I didn't want to get too far in advance. All right. So Christians basically are like all people. I mean, Christians are just regular people, but they've trusted in the Lord as their Savior. They've been redeemed, they've been saved. They should be different in many ways than your unsaved person, but they have the same flesh that everybody has, the same temptations that everybody has, and we disagree at times. In fact, we disagree quite often, some of us. We disagree about things like what team is better in a particular sport, what party would run the country better, which song is better, we disagree about, which way the toilet paper should go on the roll. I mean, we disagree about a lot of different things. We disagree with coworkers. We disagree with our friends. We disagree with our spouses occasionally. And sometimes we even disagree with ourselves. I read a story about a man who was shipwrecked on a desert island. And he was there for a number of years. And finally, a ship saw him as they were passing by. And so they sent someone to rescue him. And as he was taken off the island, the captain of the ship that was rescuing him noticed a few things on the island, and he went down and talked to the man because he had some questions about it. And the captain said, "I thought you were on that island all by yourself." And the man said, "Oh, I was, all by myself." And the captain said, "Well, I saw three huts on the island. Why were there three huts on the island?" And the man said, "Well, the first hut is where I live. That's where I sleep. That's my house. The second hut is my church. That's where I go to church." And the captain said, "Well, what about the third hut?" And the guy said, "Oh, that's my old church." And that's what Christians are like. I think many people that even if they were the only people in the church, they would find something to disagree with about the church. So we're going to look today at what to do when Christians disagree. And I want to look at two stories this morning. The first one is in Acts chapter 15. But I want to read a passage from Acts 13, and then we'll give you a little bit of background on what's going on. So I'm going to read a verse here in Acts 13. Now, I did not put every verse on the PowerPoint this morning, so you'll have to listen on some of these passages that are slightly longer. But I did put some of the passages. You may want to take, I have a number of points or philosophies or whatever you want to call them in my message this morning, so you might want to take some notes as well. And there's blank papers inside your black folder in the seat behind in front of you. But just listen as I read from Acts chapter 13. "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem." So that's that little story there. Now I want to kind of go over what we're talking about here. So this passage that we just talked about takes place in what is called Paul's first missionary journey. He had several, but this is called his first missionary journey. And they started off, I hope you can all see that, they started off in Antioch, which is over on the right-hand side of the screen. They went down to Seleucia, down to the port, and then they caught a ship and went to the island of Cyprus, two places there in Cyprus. Then they sailed once again over to Perga. And at that point, John Mark, who was with Paul and Barnabas, left them, and he returned to Jerusalem. We are not told why he left them. We just know that he left them. And then Paul and Barnabas continued on their missionary journey and then ended up all the way back, the blue line, all the way back in Antioch. And when they got back to Antioch, they stayed there a while, and they shared how God had saved the Gentiles on their journey. While they were there, a group of people came who were Judaizers who believed that Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be saved, and they began to teach that to the people in the church there. Well, Paul and Barnabas disputed that teaching, and they had a little bit of a disagreement there. So the church at Antioch sent Barnabas and Paul to Jerusalem to meet with the other apostles and to clarify the issue. Now, remember back then, the churches didn't have Bibles like we have them. Some of the churches may have received already a letter, probably not very many at this point, one of the epistles from the writers of the New Testament, and some others may have seen it. Of course, they had Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles there to actually speak to them. But they didn't have all the Bible like we have it. Now, at the Jerusalem conference, they had a big meeting, and it was decided that Gentiles did not need to be circumcised in order to be saved. So with that background, I want to start reading in Acts chapter 15. And I will read a few verses in Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now that's the John Mark who had left them when they were in Perga there and returned to Jerusalem. "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Wow. I mean, the contention between Paul and Barnabas was so strong, the disagreement was so strong, that they couldn't even stay together. "And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." So that's the first of the two stories, the conflict between Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them on the missionary journey, and Paul did not want to take him. Now the second story takes place actually just slightly before this, but it's not talked about in the book of Acts. It is talked about in the book of Galatians, and we'll read it in a second. So Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch. This is before their disagreement. "And Peter traveled to Antioch, and he was eating and fellowshipping with the Gentile believers." They had decided in the conference, or just confirmed in the conference, that these Gentile believers were believers. They were Christians. They did not have to get circumcised in order to be Christians. So Peter had come, and he was fellowshipping with them. He was eating with them. "When a group arrived from Jerusalem, another group who had been influenced by the Judaizers, still thinking that Gentiles needed to be circumcised. Now Peter, he was a Jew, he was worried about how he might look in front of these Jewish men, and so he ceased fellowship with the Gentile believers. He stopped eating with them, stopped being with them, and separated himself from them. And the other Jewish Christians who were with Peter also separated from him, including Barnabas." So now I'm going to read a section here from Galatians chapter 2, which tells what happened. This is Paul speaking. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So Paul actually confronted Peter and told him he was wrong to separate himself because he was living basically like a Gentile. He did not believe that you had to anymore follow the Jewish law. He was living with that freedom. And now some people come and he all of a sudden changes his opinion on that, or changes his actions, I should say. So that's the second story, the conflict between Paul and Peter. And I want to make a couple of comments before we get into our points this morning. First, we're not talking about a disagreement on salvation. When I say when Christians disagree, I'm not talking about a disagreement on the gospel. Now, if there's someone who's confused and doesn't understand the gospel because they've never taught it or never been taught it, well, they need love, they need evangelism, they need someone to share the gospel with them. But if someone who won't accept the truth of the gospel and continues to teach a false gospel, a different gospel, well, the scripture is very clear on that topic. I want to read, continue in Galatians, starting in verse number 6, if you want to follow along. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He said it twice for emphasis, to make sure we'd get it. Now you might say, well, that doesn't sound very Christian. I mean, somebody might get offended, you know, if you believe that or taught that. Well, Paul continues in verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. And then I want to read one more passage in John chapter, or in 2 John chapter 1, starting in verse number 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So you see, God's very serious about false teaching on salvation and the other major doctrines like virgin birth, blood atonement, things like that. But we're not talking about that this morning. We're not talking about having a disagreement with those who would teach salvation by works or teach salvation through someone other than Christ. We're talking about Christian brethren, Christian brothers and sisters who believe in salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, but we have a disagreement on some other issue. So we're going to be talking about that this morning. Now, as I was reading through it last night, my initial purpose for the message wasn't this, but I think these points would be good for married couples as well. It'd be very important for married couples to remember some of these points as well. So here's a few points for us to remember this morning. God's preference is always that brethren would be in unity. God's preference is always that brethren would be in unity. Psalm 133, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now that should always be our preference. Imagine how wonderful it would be if all Christians, all believers everywhere, would rely only on the Scripture for their doctrine instead of maybe church tradition or men's tradition or their own experience. But not everybody will. And sometimes the Scriptures, people will take a group of Scriptures, and others will take another group of Scriptures, and they have a conflict. But even if we disagree on some things, it should be our desire to dwell together in unity. Now, unity doesn't mean we'll never disagree. If we have two people together, they will disagree on some things. We are imperfect creatures dwelling in a fleshly body. But dwelling in unity means that we are one in Christ. What did Jesus pray for his disciples at the Garden of Gethsemane? John chapter 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Remember, as Christians, we have the same Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. We have the same destination, heaven, and the same job, the Great Commission, telling other people about Christ. And as a church body, we need to be in unity, moving in the same direction, working for the same purpose, having the same goals. That's the ideal. That doesn't mean we'll never disagree on some things, but we need to have that purpose and that focus that we're moving ahead and we're going forward towards the goal of reaching people for Christ. Number two, brethren should discuss the matter personally and privately when they disagree. Paul and Barnabas discussed the matter. They just couldn't come to an agreement. Barnabas was set on one point. Paul was set on another point. They just couldn't agree. The goal of the discussion, this discussion here, is to come to the truth and have unity. Now, if it's a scriptural issue, you can use the truth. We have the truth. If you're going to disagree with somebody, you ought to know why you disagree with them. If you can't go to the Bible and explain why you believe what you believe, then you need to be able to figure that out before you go to someone and say they're wrong for believing what they believe. You need to know from the Bible why you believe what you believe. Now, if it's a matter of some personal issue, you know, they offended me, or they said something to me, or they looked at me wrong, or they did something to me, or a lifestyle issue, then you should discuss it. But we got to realize that we're all just forgiven sinners trying our best to make our way in this race that God has given us in life. All of us have very different backgrounds. If I went through each person here and had you say, well, tell me about your life when you were growing up, they'd be very different. I was thinking about the groups that Tony works with in his ministry at the camp. I was thinking about the bus routes. Kirsten and I, when we were in college, we both worked on bus routes, different bus routes, but we worked on bus routes in inner city Chicago. And I know my bus route, many of the families there had brothers, sisters, parents who were involved in drugs, who were involved in alcohol, who were involved in gangs. The kids would be left by themselves for days with no food. And a lot of times, you know, it was just a terrible, abusive home life that they had. Well, that's very different than my upbringing in Ypsilanti, Michigan, which was a little suburban area there, and very, very different than my upbringing. So those folks in Chicago probably were never, or definitely were never taught the things that I took for granted as truth when I was growing up. You know, you have parents that love you. You have parents that take care of you. You have parents that provide for you. They didn't take that as truth because it wasn't their truth. They didn't have those things. So when you have this discussion, love, compassion, and forgiveness, they go a long way towards having unity. So here's a few thoughts on this discussion that I'm talking about having privately. I guess I didn't put those on there. First, both should be willing to discuss. If you're going to discuss something with someone, both of you should be willing to discuss the issue. If you are just going to walk up to somebody and make a comment to them without them being willing to discuss it, you're probably not going to get the change you want to get or like to see. You know, if you go up to some, and I've seen this, not here, but I've seen this in the past, where a lady would go up to maybe a lady who was visiting and say, you shouldn't dress like that in church. Or you shouldn't have your kids dress like that in church. Well, whether I agree with them or not on the way the lady was dressed, you're not going to get her to say, oh, you're right, I should change. No, in fact, you're probably going to offend her and she's going to leave and you'll lose the opportunity to help her. I remember a quote I heard a long time ago, and it's true, and I still remember it. Unsought advice is very seldom followed and very often resented. So, you know, you need to remember that. If you just walk up to somebody and you're going to give them advice and they didn't ask you for it, they're probably not going to be willing to follow it, and they're probably going to resent it. Second, start with prayer. You know, as I was studying and reading on different people's opinions on what to do when Christians disagree, I was shocked at how few of them said anything about prayer. Said anything. No prayer at all. Do this and this and this, but it didn't say anything about prayer. We ought to start with prayer. If we're going to have a discussion with somebody about a scriptural issue or about something related to Christian life, we need to start with prayer. Second or third, be humble and accepting. Be humble and accepting. Not everybody grows in their Christian life at the same speed. Not everybody does. Some people know things right away. They hear something, boom, it gets in their mind and they can make changes and boy, they're different. Other people, it takes a while. So remember that. And realize that disagreement is an opportunity to grow. You might learn something while you're talking to somebody about this disagreement that'll help you in the future minister to somebody else. And you might just find out, I know you'll think this is not true, but you might just find out that you weren't right after all, that they were right. So if we enter the discussion with those ideas, I think we'll have a lot better opportunity to help people. So brethren should discuss the matter personally and privately. Third, brethren should refuse to disagree on issues where the Bible is not clear or on hypothetical situations that aren't discussed in Scripture. If you're going to disagree about something in the Bible, it needs to be something that's really clear if you're going to have any kind of unity. There's a lot of things, as I mentioned earlier, in the Bible. There are a lot of topics in the Bible where you can have a difference of opinion, where you can collect a set of scriptures and go this direction. And another set of scriptures you might want to go, someone else might take and go a different direction. There's a lot of those things. Let's see if I put the verse in here. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And then Titus 3:9, almost the same. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You know, our passage on the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas is a perfect example for us here. We do not know why John Mark left. We don't know. The Bible doesn't say. It just says he left. Now, if you read commentaries on this passage, you will find a lot of people who think they do know. And I've read some where the people start disagreeing and calling out other people for having a wrong opinion on why he left, when the Bible doesn't say why he left. Now, you might have some special insight, or you might have gotten a special revelation, but I doubt it. We just don't know. The Bible doesn't say. And there are a lot of things in the Bible that we wish we knew more about. I wish I knew more about what heaven was going to be like. We know a lot about what heaven's going to be like, but we don't know everything about what heaven is like. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God has chosen not to give us the answer for, the information for, that things we would like. We'll have to wait until we get to heaven to get that information. Number four, it's okay on some matters if one person is wrong, even if it's you. When you disagree on something, even on a matter that you think is clear in Scripture, it does not mean you can't fellowship with that person. It doesn't mean you can't serve with that person in the church. You know, there are some things in the Bible that can be taken different ways, and there are some things where perhaps both people are wrong. It doesn't have to be a right or wrong, and the correct answer is somewhere in the middle. I've had, not recently, but I've had many times in the past, people ask me whether I believe in Calvinism or Arminianism. And now, if you don't know the difference, then you are so lucky. I mean, you are lucky, lucky people, all right? But I've had people ask me the questions. And I have to say, I believe, lean towards some of the points on some of the topics, and I lean towards the other side on other points involved in that. I believe that the answer is somewhere in the center. Now, if you don't know what it is, it's God's role and man's role in salvation. And it's kind of a disagreement about what their role is, you know, and what the elect are. And I don't want to get into it. But so it's foolish for me to dispute Calvinism or Arminianism with some people because they want me to take either a hard stand on this side or a hard stand on this side. And for them, there's no middle ground. You either are this or you are that. And I think the answer is somewhere a combination of the two. The problem we have, and most of us have this, I have this problem, is that when we disagree with somebody on something, we feel we have to fix that other person. That there's something wrong with that other person, and we got to fix them. And I have to be right, and it's not just enough for me to know that I'm right, but you have to admit that I'm right. So, because you're wrong. So, we have to agree, and that's the only way we can agree, is if you admit that I'm right and you are wrong. Well, that attitude can be summed up in one word, and that is pride. And pride is the killer of unity. I'm right, you're wrong. There's no unity there. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. You don't always have to be right. I don't always have to be right. And the other person doesn't always have to be wrong. It's okay to agree to disagree on some issues. It's not always a game with a winner and a loser. You don't always have to be right. So I'm going to make you a promise this morning. Are you ready for it? This is a promise, and you can hold me to this. If I preach something and you don't agree with me, I promise, are you ready to hear it? I will not be mad that you're wrong. All right? I won't be mad. If you disagree with me, I will not be angry that you are incorrect. All right? Now, will you do the same thing for me? All right. Number 5. Disagreements should never lead to a bad testimony that results in Christians turning from God or the unsaved not getting saved. When you going back to an earlier point, when you disagree, go to that person and discuss it. You don't need to go to everybody else in the church or everybody else outside of the church and discuss your disagreements with other people. Look at the passage that we talked about in John again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Our unity as a church is a testimony to those who are lost, to the unsaved. If we have people in the church who won't work together, who won't serve together, who can't speak kindly to each other for any reason, then that affects our testimony for the lost. If people come into the church and people are disagreeing and talking about other people, that harms our unity and it harms our testimony for the lost. Number 6. If the issue involves an action where people were being led astray, it may have to be handled publicly. Now, I say may have to be handled publicly. But here's a couple of points about that. Public doesn't always mean public. Think about our story with Paul and Barnabas. Let's see if I put the verse on there. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. So this was, he did it publicly. He said this not just to Peter, he said it before everybody, because there was a whole group of people who were affected. So who is the them all? The them all is those who were directly involved in the incident. He didn't go on Facebook or Jerusalem Book or whatever they had back then. He didn't go make a fake public prayer request, praying for Peter, who was so wicked in sin and all this. He handled it in the presence of those people who were directly involved. the them all. He handled it only with those who were involved. And second, it should be handled by the leader. It doesn't say one of the believers withstood Peter to his face. Paul withstood Peter to his face. Leave those type of incidents for the leader to decide if it needs to be public and to handle it. And third, public statements should have the purpose of bringing everybody back together, not to split anything apart. Paul and Peter both knew what was right. They both knew what the truth was. That Gentile believers did not have to be circumcised, and that they were still believers that you could fellowship with. Paul's admonition to Peter was to bring everybody back to the truth that they already knew. It wasn't to divide himself and Peter, to divide the Gentile Christians from the Jewish Christians. It was to bring everybody back to the truth that they already knew. Number seven. There may be times when brethren have to separate to serve effectively. There might be a time when people have to separate. That happened with Paul and Barnabas. They couldn't agree, so they had to separate. Now, it's not ideal. It's not something that we should desire, but it does happen. So, a couple of points on that. Both should continue to serve while they're separated. Barnabas took John Mark, and he went to Cyprus. Paul took Silas, and they went up through Asia and several of the churches they had already visited. So God used that separation of those two to create two separate missionary teams reaching two different areas at the same time. God used the separation for his purpose. They didn't disagree and leave the ministry. They didn't disagree and cause strife. They just served separately. Second, don't make attacks on each other. You don't read anywhere where Peter or Paul attacked the other person and called them names and said unkind things to them. They just went and served in their area. And Peter went in his area, Paul went in his area. They weren't unkind, they didn't make any attacks. The goal during the separation is to eventually be reunited in unity. Even if we feel like we can't have any unity here, there's somebody, we just butt heads, and I cannot agree with them. I just can't work with them. Well, you shouldn't have that attitude. But if you do, and you have to serve separately, remember that one day that person is going to be in heaven with you. If they're Christians, and if you're a Christian, they're going to be in heaven with you. And when we get there, I have a feeling that we're going to find that a lot of these things that we had disagreements about weren't that important at all. And the important thing was getting people saved. So eventually we'll be in unity when we get to heaven, but our goal should be try and get in unity while we're here on earth. And fourth, there was no long-term effect. You shouldn't, the separation shouldn't cause a grudge or a long-term effect. 2 Timothy 4, here Paul is writing, and he says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark," that's the John Mark, "and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." So whatever the reason for John Mark's leaving in the book of Acts, whatever his purpose for the separation was, Paul realized that he was profitable for the ministry. And he was someone that served God, loved God, and wanted God's power and blessing on his life, and he could use and work with John Mark. You know, we have a lot of disagreements and things that we probably shouldn't disagree about, but, you know, if we remember some of these points this morning, just took a couple of these points and remembered them, I think God could help us in our unity, and help us in our Christian life, getting along with other people, getting along with other Christians, getting along with other believers. Let's bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. What's your situation today? Have you had a disagreement with somebody? Are you currently estranged from another brother or sister in Christ because of some disagreement? Maybe they offended you. Maybe they said something to you that bothered you. Maybe they did something to you that you don't like. And you're waiting for them to come to you for restoration. Well, maybe you should take the first step. You know, the offended person can take the first step as well. Perhaps God needs to help you in some other area in relation to disagreements. Perhaps you have an issue with anger. Perhaps you're too argumentative and hard to get along with people. Maybe God's spoken to you about some other issue. I don't know what it is this morning. But I want to take a couple of minutes, and just in your seat, maybe God spoke to you about something in relation to this issue of disagreement between brethren. And maybe you need to ask God to help you in some area. That there's something that you need to change or you need God's help with. Just take a moment and pray, ask God to help you.